Ephesians 3, verse number 13, Paul's writing, and he says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Isn't it amazing what some people go through for us? A lot of times we think we have it so hard, but you know, the young preacher that was here at camp meeting and with little Logan, his dad, little boy in the wheelchair, noticed he had a helmet on. They're afraid if he ever takes a bump or a fall, it'd just be disastrous. Well, they woke up, left here, and woke up, I think, Saturday morning or Sunday morning. Their baby two-year-old was in a coma state. Couldn't wake the baby up, spent two nights in ICU. And you know, a lot of times when we look around, we really don't have it near as bad as we think we do. And Paul said, "I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus." He said, you know what? My tribulations are nothing to what Christ did for me. And he said, "I'm going to bow my knees to the Father of glory for what He's done for me." It's amazing what Christ done for us on a cross. And then he says this. He says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages of the world without end. Amen." Father, we sure do need You tonight. I pray now You'd help us these few minutes. I pray that You'd bring the things to my mind that I've studied today. Help me to be a blessing to Your people. Touch the ones, Lord, that need a special touch tonight. Thank You for the singing. God, thank You for the people of God that's come out to Your house tonight. Thank You for this place. We can come and preach the gospel. We love You, need You. Help us now. In Christ's name, amen. I want to preach on the topic tonight on the family of God. The Bible said in verse 15, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now, we are a peculiar family. First of all, we have a great God. I'm glad that He is our Father, and He is our God by name. I'm glad that, you know, in 1961, I was born in the Bowman family. But I'm glad in 1981, I was born into God's family. And so God is our Father, and He said, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." I'm glad He has a name above all names, but we have a name that is wonderful. That is a Christian. God's children. And boy, I'm glad that we have a God. And not only do we have a God where we're named, but notice we have a God that we have a nature. Now, you know, you didn't decide who was in your family. I had no options about who in my brother and sisters would be. And so it is by the family of God. We're all begotten by the Father, born of the Spirit. And so we have a God, and with our God, there is a nature. He brings everybody in the family. And you know something? That makes us kinfolk, brother and sisters, in the body of Christ. And we ought to love one another. You know, the older I get, the more I find out if it doesn't matter in 100 years, let it go. I've got brothers and sisters that I've had quarrels with and we're apart. And the older I get, you know, they're in their 60s now. And I get to thinking, you know, the little things that really don't matter, we've made mountains out of, don't really matter. What really matters is that we love each other, and one day we're going to face our Father, and we're going to have a family reunion. And you know, I don't want to meet God there out of sorts with my brother and sisters. You know, a lot of times it does us good to apologize and to say, I'm sorry. And you know something, if somebody has offended you, you know, probably once you get over that, somebody else will offend you. But it's no reason to take it out on the family of God. No reason to take it out on God. Because He's a good God tonight. And so we have a God. I just want to say I'm glad I'm in the family. Amen. Thank God I'm glad I'm in the family, young'uns. And so we have a God. We have a God we're named by. We have a God we have a nature by. And then we have a God that we're near by. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. I like what the psalmist David, Lord, I feel a little preach coming in up here right now. He said, Lord God, I'm glad I'm in the... Boy, I'm glad I come to church tonight. Psalms 27, verse number 10. David said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Can I say that one more time? When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. In other words, when they cast you down, honey, He'll pick you up. Ain't you glad we got a God in the picking up business tonight? Boy, I feel things are picking up around here already. And I'm glad tonight in the family of God we have a God. We have a God by where we're named. We have a God that we have a nature. And then we have a God that has nearness. I'm glad He never leaves His children. You know, so many times as a little boy, I never did like the dark. Mom and Daddy, maybe that's where Macy gets it, but they'd send me outside after dark to go get something, maybe out of the garage or out of the smokehouse. I never did want to go out there by myself. And I don't like dark things. Boy, aren't you glad when darkness comes on you, there's a God. I said, ain't you glad when there's a darkness comes on you, there's a God that sees about you every mile of the way. And so in this family, we have a God. And then you look in verse number 16 of the text, we have a granting. A granting. He said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. To be strengthened with might by Spirit in the inner man. I'm glad that God has granted me some things. Or He has left me some things. I want to say, first of all, we have a granting that is personal. You ought to underline this in verse number 16. That He would grant you. Not them. You. He's a God of individuals. Let me tell you, the Lord knowed everybody to ever be saved, but when He died, if it had only been one saved, He'd have died for that one to get saved. And so we see this granting His purse. Now that He would grant you, He's talking to me individually. Talking to you individually. Look what He's telling you individually tonight. He said, I want to tell you there's a granting that is personal, but I want to tell you there's a granting that is plentiful. Look what He said. According to the riches of His glory. Heaven ain't broke. Heaven ain't bankrupt. The world ain't running heaven. Heaven's running this. And I don't care what the devil's told me, honey. There's plenty and glory to go around tonight. We have a granting that's personal, a granting that's plentiful, the riches of His glory. We have a granting that is powerful. Look what He says. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, there's a governing principle in man. It does not reside in instinct as it does in animals. It does not reside in intellect. Brilliant people are not always right. We got some brilliant people way up in Washington that's making some bad mistakes tonight. Matter of fact, I've known a lot of educated idiots. A governing principle in man. It's not an instinct. It's not an intellect. It's not in emotions. Feeling often lead us astray. I don't feel saved every day of my life. I won't let you know, weary pilgrim, you won't always feel saved. Emotions, I like emotions. I'm a very emotional individual. I'm like this. I wish I was more stable. But I'm like this. I don't have to go to Six Flags to get on a roller coaster, honey. I live on one. I don't have to get a ticket for the Batman ride. I live there. But emotions, I'm talking about a governing principle in man. It's not in emotions. Feeling often lead us astray. Don't let your feelings make your decisions many times. Go by the Word of God. Sometimes you'll have feelings to smack somebody. But that ain't in your Bible. Don't let your feelings run things. It's not in emotions. And I'm going to tell you, it's not in will. For a strong-willed person can be a tyrant. And I tell you this, it's not in conscience. I'm talking about a governing principle in man. He's talking about being strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit. Now listen, this governing principle don't reside in conscience. A conscience can be weak. It can be warped. And it can be wrong. Our conscience can become seared. Matter of fact, I regret to say this, but there's things that I've allowed even come through into my grandchildren that my daddy would have knocked the porch down with me about. But we think it's cute. Come on now. I ain't the only one. Our conscience gets weak. The more you play with sin, the more sin plays you. You can't go on your conscience. It goes deeper than that. The ruling principle in man resides by the Spirit. God created the human spirit to be the receptacle of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27. Before the fall, the Holy Spirit was to fill the human spirit. This controls man's thoughts, feelings, and actions, and decisions. Let me ask you something. If we were all filled with the Spirit, I wonder how our thoughts would change. I've thought a lot of time, well, somebody that offended me, I don't like them. Well, I wonder what I've done to them. If we were controlled by the Spirit, our thoughts would change, our feelings would change. We wouldn't have many enemies, would we? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's hard to do that. Sometimes this Bible's hard to live, ain't it? I've said this 100 times, and y'all the only ones that don't really write me off. It's easier sometimes to be a preacher than it is a Christian. I can tell you to love your neighbor, but do I love my neighbor? Y'all ought to love your neighbor. What do I do with my neighbor? Oh, some of y'all don't like honest preaching, do you? You see, the spirit of man's the candle of the Lord. And before the fall, the Holy Spirit was to fill the human spirit and thus control man's thoughts, feelings, and actions. Boy, if we just feel the Spirit, I wonder how to change our actions. It wouldn't be no snobby attitudes, would it? Wouldn't be no hurt feelings much, would it? How can you get your feelings hurt if you're dead? You ever walked up to anybody in a coffin and said something to them, hurt their feelings?
Christ said, we've died. Boy, I tell you though, Brother Lee, this stuff here don't want to stay dead. Has to be crucified daily. Can I tell you this? We can kill ourselves many ways, but we cannot crucify ourselves. It takes one God to crucify us. No man's ever died by crucifying himself. We must ask the Lord to crucify this thing every day of our life. Before the fall, the Holy Spirit was to fill the human spirit, control the man's thoughts, feelings, and actions, and to see. Can you imagine how Adam felt in the garden before the fall? Could you imagine walking every day and just having thoughts of heavenly things? Never known sin, never knew one thing about anything about sin. Can you imagine the way he laid down and at night to go to sleep and his conscience wouldn't bother him about nothing? Lord, I'm getting somewhere tonight. Wouldn't that be something? If Satan had never tricked Eve, and Adam gave in. Adam wasn't tricked. Eve was deceived. Adam gave in. And put us all in total depravity of this thing of sin. So, a governing principle in man, we see that the Holy Spirit was to rule his body so that in his whole life he would be the expression of God. Could you imagine when Adam was walking in the garden, how he had the expression of God? No doubt there was a light that shone about him. Can you imagine that day when God cried, Adam, where art thou? Can you imagine the conscience that was ignited in him by sin? Oh, that's a terrible feeling to have God on your conscience. I'd rather be hungry. I'd rather be starved to death than to have something between me and my God on my conscience. When men fell, when Adam fell, the Holy Spirit vacated the human spirit. And this controlling principle was lost. Man living in sin is not what God had in mind. At conversion, the human spirit is regenerated. The Holy Spirit returns and relights the candle. Glory. And now the believer can do what no unbeliever can do. Live in fellowship and communion with God. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. A lost man does not have communion with God. We worship Him by Spirit and by truth. A person must be born again by the Spirit of God before you ever have the Spirit of God in you, friend. Boy, I'm glad He comes back and lights our candle and lets us shine in a lost and a dying world. I say tonight, in the family of God, not only do we have a God, do we have a granting, but I sure am glad we have a grounding. Look in verse number 17 tonight. He said that Christ... Let me say something right here. To the rich of His glory, verse 16... To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in their man. That's what we need. We need the power of the Spirit of God in us. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we all walked out here filled with power for tomorrow? Them old meetings we're dreading wouldn't be near as bad, would it? The people we're dreading to face wouldn't be near as bad. Boy, not only do we have a God, do we have a granting, but we have a grounding in verse 17. Our church, I'm glad we are grounded on the Word of God. We're not grounded in singing. I love singing much as any preacher preaching. But honey, let me tell you, there's sometimes a song will not get you through the darkness of the night. He said, watch this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, I want to say this, we have a grounding. We ought to be settled. Colossians 1 and verse 23. We ought to be settled that we're saved. If some of you are doubting that you're saved, you ought to get it ironed out. We have a grounding. I'm glad I'm grounded in the Word of God. I'm a Baptist. But let me tell you, I'm not grounded in Baptist. I'm grounded in Christ in the Word of God. And it's very important that we get grounded. We get both feet on the ground and we're settled in what's happened to us. I'm not working my way into heaven. If I could work my way into heaven, I'd work my way out of heaven. I'm saved by grace through faith. And I know that I've been born again. Now we have a grounding. He said this in Colossians 1 and 23. If you continue in the faith, here it is, grounded and what? Settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, I'm glad I'm settled. And let me tell you something. You would be surprised that the people that are not settled. It wasn't long ago I came into contact with an acquaintance that would surprise you, that is in leadership, that is doubting their salvation. Let me tell you something. To doubt is not wrong. Do something about your doubt. Get in the Word of God and find out, are you saved? You don't have to go through this world doubting if you're going to heaven. Jesus died for you. Grace is what He did. Bible said He gave every man a measure of faith. Has it ever been a time that your faith has reached up to Him? You trusted Him to save you. A lot of people say you got to say this or say that. Honey, I tell you what I said. When I said this right here with that foot, I got saved. And I ain't got to say 1, 2, 3, 4, come follow me. When I did that, I got saved. My world changed, neighbor. It's not so much what you said. Did you come to Christ here? And then did your life change? A little boy in the church wondering, was he saved or safe? I met him the other night. Little old thing beat anything I've ever seen in years of ministry. Walked out there. And his little old feet were sticking off my couch like this right here. Now you talking about a blessing, walk in and see a little boy with his little feet sticking off the couch. I said, son, what's wrong with you? He said, I want to know, am I saved or safe? I said, well, I want to ask you something. I says, God showed you that you lost? Not really. I said, well, let me tell you something, hon. When you get ready to get saved, you'll be convinced. He said, is that the word I need, preacher, convinced? I said, that's it. Convinced. Preacher can't convince you. A church can't convince you. But the Holy Ghost can convince you, friend, that you need the Savior. And has it ever been a time that you were convinced that you needed Christ to get you to heaven? And you stepped out by faith to Him. And now let me tell you, right there's where I drive a stop down. You know why? Because He said, if any man would come to me, I would in no wise cast him out. Many times the devil said you didn't get saved. Oh, honey, let me tell you, I got a stop drove down where He saved me. I don't know the minute or the hour, but I know the day that the Lord saved me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad God done a work in me that nobody else could have done. He done something great for me. And I bless His name for the day. And I'm settled about it. If you never get settled, you can't help nobody else. We have a grounding. We ought to be settled. 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You ought to underline this that you may know. He don't want you going through this world wondering. That you have, look at there, have, and ain't nobody getting it from me, eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Settled. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believe. Not what I've done. But I know whom I've believed. And I am persuaded that He's able. Now listen, you ain't able to keep what you've done. Because you're going to mess up. You're going to say bad things. Like that little old boy sold that bad lawnmower to that preacher. He said, "Preacher, you done forgot all them bad words?" He said, "I sure have." He said, "You just keep pulling on them thing. It'll come back to you." Amen. You're going to do some things, but it don't mean you got lost. Just look what He says. I know whom I believed and I'm persuaded. He's able, look here, to keep. Lord goodness. I could just run on home. Look here. Now you did have a part. Now look what little part you done, which I've committed. Did you come to Him? Then He said, "I'm going to keep you. Unto Him against that day." That day's approaching. Jesus is coming. We have a grounding. We ought to be settled. Number two, we ought to be steadfast. We ought not let any little thing blow us out of church. Let me tell you something, friend. I know I'm the pastor. I know I'm the leader here. But let me tell you something. If I tuck tail and run every time the devil said boo, you wouldn't have a preacher here tonight. If somebody let me down and somebody hurt my feelings, I would have never lasted this 17 years, be 18 years Christmas. And I want to show you what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. We ought to be steadfast, grounded, steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. You don't know how it thrilled my heart to hear what kind of meeting y'all had here Sunday morning. That thrilled me to death. You know why? Because it lets me know that we're here to worship the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding, that's in abundance, in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. In other words, there's a payday coming someday. And you know, a lot of times the devil say, if you pay your tithes, you're not going to be able to pay your electric bill. Why you study your Bible? Nobody appreciates you. Sunday school teacher, ain't nobody saying thank you. Well, you know something? Let me tell you something right quick. When you've been with the people 17 years, it's a lot like being married to a woman or a husband 17 years. The biscuits are good, but you just don't tell them the biscuits is good every time. If I was waiting on all y'all to tell me good preaching tonight and got my feelings hurt, I never would come back and preach no more. Amen, because we all human.
always abounding in the work of the Lord. We ought not be waiting for somebody to pull our chain and say, hooray, Ken. Now, don't get me wrong. It helps me if somebody says on Wednesday night, preacher, that helped me. And Miss Renee does me a lot of good. She does you a lot of good at the back door on Sunday. I say, hon, how was that? She said, you could say everything you said in 30 minutes. We just being honest. But let me tell you something. We got to be steadfast. Don't you think the devil's going to encourage you to go to church like this? I can't tell you the people that they've even let their children get them out of church. Somebody say something to a child, or a child get in trouble in Sunday school. Out they go. Well, children's going to be children. They get in trouble at school. At least I did. Ephesians 4 and 14. Ephesians 4 and 14. Steadfast. Now watch this. That we henceforth, I'm talking about grounding now. We ought to be grounded. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. A lot of you know this. They'll ask you on your job, are you saved eternally? Oh yeah, our preacher says we are. Is Jesus coming back before the tribulation? Yeah, our preacher says he is. Are you in Christ? Yeah, preacher says we are. We ought to be grounded in doctrine and know what our Bible says. There's a man told me something, really a light went off this week. And I was discussing ministry and telling about, you know, I can tell you one teacher individually that we had, and I know with Brother Adam, Brother Randy, it's no big issue. But I remember a man a lot of times wouldn't have Sunday school. He'd study and he'd just get mad at me because we wouldn't have Sunday school, you know. And so the fellow told me this. He said, well, preacher, what's wrong with studying your Bible? Why would we get mad at studying the Bible trying to help us just because we didn't get up in the limelight that morning? I said, you know, a lot of times I prepare a sermon. Man, I've got a dandy ready to go, and I don't get to use it. But I ain't pout, God, you didn't let me preach this. You know what I'm saying? Hooray, Lord Jesus, I'm glad you let me rest this morning. We have a grounding. Are you grounded? Are you grounded in the faith of the Word of God? Let me tell you something. If you don't have a good study Bible tonight, you ought to get you a life application study Bible. Really help you. I got computer aids that really help you to learn to study the Bible if you're ever interested in that. But certainly we have a ground. We ought to be grounded in the faith. Let me ask you something right here, right now, tonight. If a family you're partial to in this church leaves, will you leave with them? Are you grounded in the faith? I know we're human. I know we like going to church with each other. But are you going to church for the right reason? You know, that's why I love to see people sort of shift around in church where cliques get started. That way, if this family gets mad at the preacher, then she don't take nine rows out with her when she leaves. Ain't that right? I mean, what are we here for? Grounded. We've got to be grounded. We've got to realize the devil's our enemy. We're not our enemy. Some of y'all have said some hard things to me, but you're not my enemy. We're human. And we've got to be grounded and settled in the face, and we've got to be steadfast. If the devil can knock you out, he's going to knock you out. I've said all across this country, young people, you need some guts and some glue. Guts and glue. So we have a grounding. Look what he says now. We should have another hour to preach tonight. I mean, I really do. I enjoy preaching so much tonight. I wish I had another hour. But I know I don't. I can't be crazy about all this. I know it. But look what he said. That we henceforth be no more children. My little grand girl, bless her, you ought to see her. She just tickles the fire out of me. Sometimes her daddy will get on her. And this is what she'll do. She'll cross her little arms. She'll put that little bottom lip out. And she'll go sit at the end of her toy box. She'll just stare at the floor. You know why she does that? Because she's a child. She's a child. People get tickled me at revivals when I tell them what Renee tells me. Say, you know, you need to just move on, crybaby. And I'm not making belittle of nobody's storm. I'm in one of the biggest storms tonight I've been in, I believe, in the ministry in a long time. But you know what? We can't get bogged down with what the devil's done to it. And so we ought to be steadfast. Then he says this, carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's amazing what people believe in this community. Wind of doctrine. Do you really think, hang on just a second, why would anybody get offended at me because I say a woman preacher's wrong? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight. Why would anybody get offended at this Baptist preacher for saying a woman that will take authority in a congregation is wrong? I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm married. Let me say that again. I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm married. I love my wife. Oh, preacher, you need to get with it, man. This is 2011. Yep, this book ain't out of date. This is a true saying. If a man... Now, let me ask y'all something. What's the hard about a King James Bible? Let's stop right there. If a man desire the office of a bishop, that's overseer or pastor, he desire for a bishop, then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Now watch this, verse 4. One that ruleth well his. Have you ever known a woman be called his? Why people got an issue with a man preaching? You know why? Because they're sitting under any wind of doctrine and they're offended. Because it don't suit their lifestyle. Tabernacle Baptist Church, Carrollton, Georgia, women deacons. Let me tell you something about the deacons. Verse number 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Now, I'm not confused about that, neighbor. All people got to do is just read their Bible. Now watch this. 1 Timothy 2:11. You can't even turn this verse sideways. People with a sideways Bible can't even turn this sideways. 1 Timothy 2:11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, speaking of in the church. Listen, a lady can teach young boys, but when a young boy begins to be 12 or 13 years old and gets into manhood, he don't need a woman teacher no more. Me and my wife walked in one time 20 years ago. I was preaching a church in Alabama, and I walked up the door, and there was a woman in the pulpit preaching adult class. S- Don't be carried about with every wind. Know what your Bible says. And when somebody says, your preacher's against that, y'all say, no, God's against that. And our preacher, listen, our preacher's just reading what God says. And I'm going to tell you, that's why people really, you know, they like our church or they don't like our church. They want a little tickly feel good, sir, make me feel good. I come to church, but don't tell me what I'm doing wrong. Don't tell me what I'm doing. And you know, a lot of times, folks, in my own preaching, I get convicted and get help for my life. This Bible cuts us. It's a two-edged sword. Steadfast. Now, look what he says in 1 Timothy 4 in verse number 1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about a man that's leading the congregation. All of a sudden, he gets a new whim. I've got a new revelation. Honey, if it ain't in this Bible, it ain't from God. It becomes a cult. Amen? Look, seducing spirit. Latter time, we see things we thought we would never see. It's unbelievable what people believe, and it's unbelievable what they'll follow. Used to, in the 40s, 50s in this country, men that preached out of this Bible, people followed them kind of men. They held them highly for the work's sake, and they loved them and respected them, and they would have nothing else but a man preaching out of a King James Bible. They'd have nothing else. But now, man, it's just anything, you know, to draw a crowd and get some drama going. Tickle me in the doctor's office a little day. Come in, little woman coming on a little cart today. I bet she was nearly 90 years old, bless her heart. And, buddy, she was a lamb-blasting church. I just love to sit back and listen to people. She said, you know that music today these young'uns is playing? I just don't understand it. And she couldn't hear, Brother Dave. She was just screaming all over the waiting room. She was just screaming. God love her. I just want to pick a little thing up and bring her to church. And this is what she said. She said, I just don't... Now listen, don't write me off. I'm all for having for kids. They out back tonight having teen church. I'm all for that. But listen to what she said. She said, I don't understand why all these churches building all these ball fields and gymnasiums. She said, ain't schoolhouses got all that? There's a little woman carrying her there. She's trying, shh, hush, mama, be quiet. I'm all for having what we need for kids, but let me tell you, this isn't a place of entertainment. This is a place to be rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus. And so we must be grounded. You see, we have a grounding. We should be settled. We should be steadfast. Look in Jude 3 and 4, then I'll be closing tonight. Jude 3 and 4. I know we're running late, but I want to share this with you. Jude 3, verse number 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So that word contend means to struggle for. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? A man that's pastoring the largest Christendom church in America denied on Larry King Live that Jesus Christ was not the only way to heaven. What's that verse right there say? We have a grounding. Are you settled? Are you steadfast? And are you surrendered? Verse 19 of that text, look, and then I'll be done. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Let me tell you, there, listen to me real quick now. Don't miss this, to be surrendered. He says to know the love of Christ that passes. Now, there's some things we can't comprehend. There's some things going to happen to us that we don't understand. But we've got to know this. Christ loves us more than the circumstance. And then we have a glory in verse 21. Unto Him be the glory in the church. I don't think when I get to heaven, God's going to set me down and say, Ken Bowman, you made too much of my son at Liberty Baptist Church. Brother Gerald had a Bible cover, hymn book. Give me a thought. One time I preached a series on the hymn book. I don't believe when we get here in Sunday school, God's going to frown on us if we're here to exalt His Son. We have a glory, and it's not to glory on us, but oh, we can glory in the cross. What the Lord Jesus done for us. Thank you for